Welcome to the Coaching Ignited podcast. I'm your host, Alex Povey. It's great to have you here. This show is all about peeling back the curtain on what's going to help you build the fitness business you truly want. And each week we bring on a new guest to share their stories, insights, and strategies so you too can take action and apply what you learn. The podcast is released every Wednesday on all the major platforms, including Spotify and iTunes. So make sure you go give that a subscribe, guys. Now, if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members, and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so you can connect with me there. Now let's get into this week's episode. Enjoy the show. Hey, what is up, guys? I'm really excited to be sharing this show with you today. None of this was scripted, planned. It was very much recorded on the fly a couple of weeks ago. And we went into some really interesting topics that I didn't think were going to come up. So super grateful to having spent some time with this guest because he's an incredible person. He's doing some amazing things in the coaching space. And we really dive into this concept of self-sabotaging your success and how we can sometimes feel alone in our process and journey of building a business. And I imagine you've been there too in your business, building your fitness business, where sometimes it's not going your way or you're having these self-sabotaging thoughts and behaviors, which is really hindering your success. And it's interesting to hear that a lot of us has been in this same situation. A lot of us have been faced with these obstacles and walls that we needed to climb. And today's guest really goes deep and vulnerable on this topic. So we've got Lucas Rubix. Been looking forward to getting this man on the show. He's a pretty intense looking dude. He's the man behind the Coach's Corner, a corner of the internet completely committed to helping passionate people like you turn your gifts, knowledge, experience, and story into a coaching business that actually makes money. He's built multiple coaching businesses, both offline and online, in a wide variety of niches, in the business of helping coaches create businesses that predictably generate leads, attract new clients, and most importantly, create true freedom. So there's going to be a ton of links to his social in the show notes. I highly recommend you go check him out on Instagram. He's an awesome dude. Great message, great content, shares some really good insights, and he's super passionate about what he does. So without further ado, let's get into this week's episode.
All right. So we're live, and I just want to welcome you onto the show, Lucas. I feel like this is going to be a really, really good show. And I feel like we're really going to unpack some cool things based on just our little chat that we had before going live. And for everyone listening, I really just want to set the stage as to who you are and what you're all about and how you got into this kind of journey of coaching. So if we can just rewind a couple of years, as far back as you want to go to make it relevant, to tell your story about finding coaching and becoming a coach and coaching other people. So yeah, over to you, man.
Beautiful. Thanks, man. Right before I get into it, I want to say, A, thank you. And B, I had an idea of what this episode was going to be about. I had some notes, but then just talking to you for those first few minutes, there's just 22 layers deeper than just the surface stuff, which just every cell in my body is, I was already excited and now I'm twice as excited. So thank you. And I think what you're doing, going past the tactics, the strategies, like you were saying, so many people listening to this probably know what to do or they have some of the knowledge, some of the pieces, but man, if we can overcome the stuff that's inside you, you will be amazed at what you can create. It's like everything you start touching turns to gold. And I'm not trying to be, scammy and spammy with it, but there's truth to that. It's like when you can easily overcome obstacles because you are the person who can overcome those obstacles and you stop sabotaging yourself, anything you do, I don't care if you quit coaching tomorrow and you decide to start a sailboat tour company, you will succeed when you have the tools to do it. So I'm really excited about this. So thank you.
Awesome, man. And you said something there, which is super interesting, that word sabotage. Because I think we can all sabotage ourselves a lot.
Yeah, guilty, time. Guilty for sure.
Like, we're all guilty of it. I've done it. I'm sure you've done it. Like my business partners have done it. My clients have done it. People listening to this, we're constantly sabotaging ourselves. And it's, I find it's a constant battle and a constant war against yourself. Like, we're the biggest enemy, really, aren't we? When it comes to life, when it comes to business, when it comes to coaching, when it comes to anything. And I'm in war right now against myself on many levels, and I'm always trying to find ways to overcome or beat myself in the battle. And I'd love to dive into how you cope with some of those things and some of those challenges and that self-sabotage later on in the show.
Yeah,
let's talk about your journey into coaching.
Sure. I'll make it fairly quick. You know, there's so many layers to it, but basically, I guess you could say pretty typical story. High school, really didn't like school, didn't like textbooks, didn't like authority, didn't like teachers. You know, liked them as a human being, but just didn't like the concept that that was being taught.
Same.
My parents are, you know, they immigrated from Europe, and I guess they, you know, my dad always instilled something a little bit different of like, you know, the whole brick in the wall thing. I used to listen to Pink Floyd over and over. I'm like, I'm not a brick in the wall. So I'm grateful for that. That being said, when you don't follow the status quo, when you don't go to college and everyone else is doing it, you can really doubt yourself, you know, second guess yourself, even in relationships. You know, my early relationships, they'd have degrees or they'd have this and that, and I didn't. And I just felt sort of like I made a story around myself of, well, maybe I'm just a laborer. Maybe I'll just use my body. So I remember looking like, what is the highest paying job I can get with just a high school diploma? And that was on the oil rigs. So I, you know, hustled my way into that industry, and I worked on the oil rigs, drilling for oil in Northern Alberta, Northern BC, Northern Canada for 5 or 6 years. And although the money was great, the money was awesome. I don't know. I mean, I think everyone in their 20s has this, they want to accomplish something, but they just don't know what it is. So there was that internal struggle, internal battle of I'm doing this and I'm making the money. You know, 120, 140 grand a year as a 20-year-old is great. Drive whatever I want, buy whatever toys, motorcycles. But it was fairly empty. And I think at around 24, 25, I had to make a decision. And one more thing on this is I think all the people around me, because I'm huge on my environment nowadays, all the people around me were great people. Like, I still talk to some of them, but they were the typical, you know, I'll just do this until I retire. Until I, you know, the system will take care of me. And I think one of my big moments where I was like, wait, this is not making sense, is I'd look at the 40, the 50-year-olds who've been doing this for 30 years, broken families, cheating on their wives, you know, at the strip clubs, and like we just live in small little towns. And as a 20-year-old from a small town, I was so naive until I started seeing the drugs and what was happening. And I was like, this just doesn't feel right. I was raised better than this. And then I think at around 25, there was a guy named Bob. Literally, his name was Bob. And he was always telling me, trying to mentor me, like, hey, just stay in this. Like, you'll retire. He was 1 or 2 years from retiring. Hated his pretty much his entire life. But he's like, when I retire, they just bought a place on Vancouver Island. And they were going to retire, him and his wife. And then he died suddenly of a heart attack. And I was like, hey, am I going to take advice from all of these guys telling me this one thing to wait till I'm 50 or 60, or am I going to figure it out? And one layer deeper than that, there was some, I wouldn't call it mental health, but it was definitely a depression I was slipping into that I wasn't fully aware of, because I didn't know any better. I just thought maybe that's how life is, and you deal with these feelings and you bottle it up. A lot of prescription medication kind of came at the end of my career. So I was kind of coping through that. Just making poor choices. And the final straw, the final moment was I bought a place in Vancouver. Everyone around me, my family, my mom, my dad, friends are just like, you are so successful. Look at you go. You're 25 and you just bought a place. You got two cars, you got two motorcycles. You're doing so well. And every time I heard that, it was just more and more painful, because I knew I wasn't, it looked great, but I was not happy. And then the final straw came after I bought my place. Pretty much 2 or 3 weeks into it, it was still unfurnished. I just had a bed and really no one around me, because everyone was from Alberta. I didn't really have that many friends in Vancouver. And I took just a few too many Percocets. A little bit too much alcohol mixed with it, and probably 2 or 3 in the morning. I had a Mossberg 12-gauge shotgun. Grabbed it, loaded it, pointed it at the head, and I sat there. I don't know. It felt like hours, but it was probably just 5-10 minutes. And the interesting thing about it was the whole time, like my head, or like the one voice in my head was telling me that, like, it's like the body was doing it. Like, I was going through the motions and I didn't want to. So I sort of explained it, like, and this is going to sound really weird, but it was like, it's like something was controlling me, being like, dude, do it, do it, do it. And I'm just like, no, 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 no. Obviously I'm here, so I didn't. But I remember at that moment just thinking about, A, my mom, she'd have to bury a son with no head. That'd be kind of weird. 2, you can do this and just take the easy way out. Or 3, like, dude, something has to change. At 25 years old, this is not normal. This is not what 25-year-olds do. Figure it out. So woke up the next day, and this is going to sound extra strange, but I think for once in my life, like, I actually felt. I think I bottled up so many feelings that I literally just felt. I remember going for a walk. Like, I could feel the sun. This is going to sound so weird. I always explain, like, I could feel the sun. I could see the little butterflies. There was art on this wall that I, like, was like, this is actually beautiful art. I've never seen this before. It's like my eyes were opened. My heart was open. And maybe through the trauma of that experience, just something shifted in me. And I knew that, okay, wait, there's actually more. So I quit my job. I was completely over leveraged. The bank gave me my house for 5% down. I had 2 vehicles with 0 down. I had motorcycles with 0 down. I was completely over leveraged, probably $8,000 or $9,000 a month just to pay things, like just to continue my lifestyle. I went to $0 really quick. Didn't work for 1 year as I tried to find myself, really dove into personal development. Eventually I had to sell the place to cover off the debt. Both cars went, both motorcycles went. I literally had nothing, but I felt like I had everything. I was literally happy for the first time in my life with very little. And I realized that the material stuff is great, but that's going to come after I figure out this thing, this body, this brain, this mind, this soul. And I got into coaching through that. Is I kind of got on a really strict fitness routine, quit smoking, quit drugs, like just super clean for about a year. Big body transformation, big mindset, just people seeing the change. And naturally, I started attracting people saying, you know, could you help me with my body, was the first thing that I did. Didn't really know much, got the most basic certification you could get. It was like a 2-week course. And I was like, I'll try this. Started charging for it, built a business around that, took that business online. And ever since then, it's kind of been an upward thing of how can I help people avoid just a lot of the things that, the pain, like how do we feel the pain, but move away from it, move towards something better. So back in the day, it was fitness, turned into the mindset. And now obviously it's sales and marketing, because I love all of it, but I think it's all a holistic kind of approach. Is you can learn how to build a funnel. Easy. It's Google it. You can learn how to write copy. Google it. There's a $49 course on it that I'm sure is great. Go hire Alex. You can do all this, but if you're missing those key components, you will, it ain't going to work, or at least it won't work for very long.
I just want to say, first of all, that I'm grateful that you're still here.
Yeah, otherwise, me too.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing this, and you wouldn't be doing what you're doing, and you wouldn't be having the impact that you're having. Like, you
and it's just a pain cycle. Like, if that would have happened, then, you know, what kind of trauma does that cause for the family?
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, I love kind of the mission you chatted about it earlier that you're on of you know, in the UK of helping men through that, and raising money for it. If anyone's listening to it and there's links to raise money for it, I don't know if you share anything, but I suggest that it is just such a, I was so ashamed of it for so long. I literally just started sharing this maybe 6 months ago. I was on a podcast and something just told me to share it and just actually open up for it. And the host said the same thing. He was like, I was there too. And I, when I started talking about it, I realized how many people actually have gone through it or have come close, and especially in their mid-20s. So it's a topic that needs to be talked about, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I'm so glad that you're now leading with the truth, because that's what people need to hear. Even though it might be shameful to you that you were at that point on your bed with a shotgun in your hand thinking, do I pull it? Do I not? Do I pull it? Do I not? Like, that's a very dark place to be. And yeah. I can't even comprehend how that would feel, because I've not been to that level. And so it's hard for me to empathize with what you went through, but I imagine it was very, very tough. But also what I imagine is tough is openly sharing that. But just by you sharing it alone, and I'm so fucking glad you did, because people listening to this show, there could be maybe 10% of people listening to this show who maybe not be that low, but are experiencing things where life is crumbling, or things are not going their way, or their business is not growing the way they want it to. Or I was speaking to a personal trainer last year, and his business wasn't growing. His partner left him. Everything was crumbling, and he just felt helpless, right? Yeah. And there's so many people that are going through that. And you made a good point that I think as men especially, we bottle these things up and we suppress it, because we almost feel as men weak if we share our emotional side and our insecurities and our weaknesses, when actually on the flip side, I believe it's more strong to be self-aware of your weaknesses and prepared to share them in pursuit of overcoming them.
100%, dude. I think the first time I remember really, really crying, I think it was 26 or 27. And I think it was 27 years of bottled up. You know, my parents, amazing. But just the way that they grew up was like, if I ever felt something as a kid, they got uncomfortable. My dad got uncomfortable, didn't know how to talk about it. Love my parents to death. But it was like, I remember the first time I actually was like, woof, like all of this shit. And I remember how freeing it felt after. And then I went on a journey of how do you do it without having to bottle it up? How do you, in a healthy way, express yourself and still be, I mean, I love stoicism. That's one of my core philosophies. So how do you do it in a healthy way while still being a leader, still being a man, still crushing your path and knowing when to share and when to go through it. And so it's a fun journey that I think, that I'm grateful for. So yeah.
Do you read the Daily Stoic?
I have. Yep.
You've read it. Yeah. Yeah. I've read that book as well. Very, very interesting. The principles in that, I'm an advocate of it. It's the terminology and the way it's written is sometimes hard to wrap your head around. It's like,
yeah,
you've got to think when you're reading it to really get it. Anyone listening will know if you've read it.
Ryan Holiday is a great way of doing it. And The Obstacle is the Way, I think, is one of the simplest books to comprehend the philosophy. It's not a cult. It's not weird, but I think every man and woman, I mean, I guess I'll expand it to everyone. I think everyone should read it to understand it. I think stoicism has got this bad rap of like, well, you just don't feel. You're like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the characters in his movies. You just don't feel, you do. Yeah. And this is one really small part of it, but it's actually just a very small part of it. It's a really good book. And a lot of sports, a lot of athletes, a lot of business, a lot of even Eastern religions are very closely tied with it. I guess it's just a different way of understanding some kind of philosophy to live your life by that I really resonate with on a very deep level.
Mm. And I noticed you're a big reader. Actually, you shared some books recently on your Instagram profile. I want to come back to that in a second, because
sure,
I'm a big advocate of reading, and I imagine the guys listening to this podcast and the girls, they're very hungry to learn things because they're here, they're spending their time with this educational podcast. So that's really the audience. So we can cover that in a second, but
I'm going to share one more thing to anyone who's listening, and I'm not being look at me, because I have challenges and struggles every day, but I've got the world's most perfect woman. I wake up in the morning. I love what I do. Like, life can be different. So if you are struggling with stuff, I'm talking like in 1 year's time, in 2 years time, even in 5 years time, your life can be completely different. And I know it feels hopeless at times, but I genuinely love every single day. Not every day is perfect. Some days I want to quit, give up, and pack it all in, retire. But it lasts for about 2 hours. You think about your why, you think about your purpose, and you're right back at it. So things can be different in a very short period of time, just in case you are thinking that you're an exception to that rule. You're not. Don't be that egotistical. There's a way out.
I'm actually really glad you said that, because the charity that I support, which is Mentel, it's called Mentel. They've got basically sites all across the northwest of England. And it's a simple concept, super, super simple. And what you mentioned right there is exactly how it works. is basically an open forum where guys can come down. You sit in a circle and you basically just talk. And there's going to be people at different levels on the scale of how they feel about their emotions and whether they're suicidal or not. And the key thing is to have people that have gone through the different levels and overcome things.
Cool.
So you were once at this really, really low point. And if you were in that circle, you would be now talking about how grateful you are about like being with your partner and the life you've got and what you're doing and your why and your purpose. And that's what the person below you needs to hear.
Yeah.
Because they're going to turn to you and go, wow, he was suicidal. He was ready to go, but now he's here. So then they put two and two together and they're really down here and low and they can see hope by hearing you speak. But that only happens when you open your mouth.
That's
and
amazing.
You talk openly about it. And so it's exactly the same as what we're doing here. It's just me and you are sat in our own little circle. We're talking about it. You're explaining about where you were. And maybe there's someone listening silently to your story, where you were and where you are now. And then that's going to give them hope.
Yeah, so that's great.
I'm really glad you shared that because that's really how simple it can be.
Beautiful.
So yeah, glad you shared that, man. You talked something, you mentioned something, a word, and I pick up on words all the time because they're very powerful and they really give a lot of weight. And you said environment and how maybe your old environment wasn't supporting you before, right? And then you created a new environment, because I've been there as well. When I was growing up, I was hanging around, I wouldn't say with the wrong people, but I wouldn't say they were the right people for where I wanted to be or what my potential was. And so in that environment, I was a certain way.
Yep.
I was not going down a path where I would be happy in the future.
Or
I wouldn't have achieved much if I stayed there. And personally, I had to remove myself. I had to leave all my friends. I had to disconnect from that circle, everything I knew, and I moved to another country just to restart and reset and create a new environment to get out of the old habits and the old behaviors. And you spoke about that. You spoke about changing your environment. And I think this is interesting because getting around a coach is like changing your environment as well, right? So if someone were to come to work with you, that's effectively changing their environment. They're getting input from someone who is going to influence how they behave, how they act, and their way of being. Can you talk 100. A little bit more about environments and
sure.
what that's done for you, just to quantify the environment piece?
Yeah, sure. And I think, you know, words paint your worlds. And I'm really big on that as well. Sometimes I catch myself saying something like, oh, I'm painting my world right now. I will actually repeat it out loud. Even if I think something, I'm like, wait, that's a thought, painting my world. Let me rephrase that. Let me change that. Environment. I'm like, everything in your life should support, like every piece of your life should support your mission. So obviously, fundamentally, know your mission, know your why, know what you want. But once you know what you want, how can you set up your day and your life to be able to support that on every level? So even from your workspace and the things around you and the things that inspire you, I don't need, you know, much is I'm fairly content with very simple things. But one thing that I know really inspires me is a beautiful view. And I will pay ridiculous amounts of money to have an office or have a house or have a place where I wake up and I have a view of the city. I need to see the ocean because it supports. Now, back in the day, I couldn't, but I knew one day when I can, anything I can do to support my environment, to support my mission, to support my creativity, I'll do. And so if I have a beautiful view and I wake up and it inspires me to create more and I can go sit out there and have a coffee and just think, great. The people around me, you'll notice, like I used to have maybe 10, 15, 20 friends and I'd be always texting and talking to them. And one, I just kind of was like, what am I, like I'm probably spending an hour or 2 hours talking to friends, which is great, but are they really my friends? A, B, I really had to start picking and choosing who's in my world. And not that I removed like being like, I'll never talk to you again, but I just had a conversation. I'm like, look, I'm going on a mission. I really want to change myself. I hope you support me. And I'm going to be off the grid for a little bit, figuring me out. And nowadays, the circle is very, very tight. The people I get to connect with all lift me up, all inspire me, and I give that back. So the community and the clients that I'm a part of, I make sure I'm always giving back. But I'm just, anything that's not supporting your environment, I'm talking from any habits that you may have right now, Any people in your life that you know every time they bring you down, you don't owe anyone anything. There's healthy ways to do this, to detach yourself or to take a break. If you're in a relationship that doesn't support you, I know it's terrifying to let go of things because there's a period of like, oh my God, well, you know, possible loneliness or like, what's that going to look like? And will I ever have friends again? Or will I ever, you will. But I think, you know, I mean, I've been in relationships that would literally, I used to be an actor. So I'd have a big audition. One time I got booked for a role. And then that night it was just always fighting and it was always just a mess. I take responsibility for it too, but it was always bringing me down. And finally I was just like, from now on, anything that brings me down, I'll have a conversation. But if people aren't willing to work with me on that, to support me, then it's very easy for me to cut them out of my life. And yeah, so your environment, absolutely everything around you should fuel your mission once you know your mission.
Mm. The one with the people, I love that you described actually like your physical environment, the views and the water and Vancouver, obviously being over there, you're blessed with so much of the outdoors and nature, and it's just a beautiful place, which I'm yet to come to, but I cannot wait until I do.
We'll do something.
Yeah, man, I cannot wait for that. But in terms of the people piece, I think people know the people piece is important. So like having the right people, the right relationships, and I'll be vulnerable for a second. I've struggled with that piece myself when it comes to like relationships, like a romantic relationship, because I'm very mindful of a couple of things. And I don't want to come across as selfish, but I would just call it focused. So I like to reframe it from being selfish to focused, because people could look from the outside and go, you're just focused on, or you're just selfish. You just want to work. And I'm like, no, I'm just focused on what I want to do and what I want to achieve. And so for me, I've really struggled myself with like, just like settling with someone. And that word, I think, is quite paramount, right? When I say that word and we're talking about words, I don't just want to just like be with someone for the sake of being with someone. Mm-hmm. I want to be with someone because I genuinely want to be with them. They enrich my life. They support me. I can support them. They're my biggest fan. They understand that I'm on this mission, on this focus to build this business, to impact people, to help my clients, to give to charity, to reverse suicide. And I don't know, I've not found her. And there's been people that have come along that could have been a good fit, but then it just never transpired. And I don't know whether that's a personal thing that I have to work on or whether I can just be at peace knowing that it will come if I just continue being who I am and being authentic, because I don't want to fake it. I don't just want to like conform and settle and you need to get married and have kids if it's not in line with my vision and my goals. So I'm in this kind of like catch 22 right now, and I've been there for a while, and I wouldn't say I'm unhappy about it, but I'm also mindful about not just being with someone for the sake of being with someone, because it's like what you're supposed to do.
One of the biggest things that changed for me was I got super clear on everything I would want in someone. I'm talking specificity that is almost on the verge of insanity, but just this is exactly the things that would have been important to me, the values, the direction. And the second I did that, it was probably about 2 weeks later that it just happened. And then I remember reviewing that list a week later and I'm like, huh. So just like we do in our business, how many clients, how much money, what kind of revenue streams, what kind of programs, what kind of clients. Sometimes I think doing that in every area of your life is really powerful, and you can call it the law of attraction or anything else you want, but I just think it's your awareness and your radar is on the whole time. And it just happened. And a lot of people share that story the same. So I remember getting specific, like I do with my business on the partner. And that goes with like, what kind of leads do you want? What kind of clients do you want? What kind of business do you want? I think it's all one and the same. And when you get clear on it, you can create it.
I don't disagree at all. Anyone that listens to this will know that I'm very big on the mindset and quantum physics and frequency, right? Which you just mentioned. People call it the law of attraction. But effectively, the science is it's quantum physics with mm-hmm. quantum particles. Mm-hmm. Everything's connected. And mm-hmm. what you talked about, like attention and focus, that's just triggering the reticular activating system mm-hmm. to go, that's important. Look out for it. I want it.
100%. Love that.
And I totally agree, dialing it in. I'm going to be open again. I've tried dialing that area in. I dial everything in. I dial how my body looks, how my bank account looks, how my business looks, how the charity looks, how everything looks. And mm-hmm. I've tried dialing that in, but I've still not hit it. So I've still mm-hmm. not hit the frequency where it's like attracted it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I suppose I just keep crystallizing it, going over it over and over again. And then the actions will be consistent with that version of me or that thing that I want to attract. Eventually, it's just a case of time hasn't caught up yet. That's kind of where I have my peace to a degree, where I'm like, I ain't concerned because I know to a degree exactly what I want. It's just time hasn't caught up yet and it's not happened. But I did have a thought. This podcast is going down a weird direction, isn't it? That mm-hmm. I didn't think it would do, which is cool. But when you wrote your list of like, this is what I want specifically, when you were writing it, did you feel like you could be ruling other people out that you might potentially meet who could equally fulfill you in the way you want it to feel because you were getting so specific on one type of person?
Yeah, I think that goes with
this opportunity.
I think that's the fear of, like, even when you work with a client and you're like, great, let's dial in your ideal client or your, who would you like to work with and what kind of niche do you want to enter and what kind of message do you want to put out there? And, you know, there's a massive fear of, well, if I get too specific, I'm going to rule out all these other people. And I think it's a scarcity mindset. Yes, you're ruling a lot of people out, but you're making room for what you actually want, whether that's in your business, in your relationship, in your life. It's all one and the same. So these tactics are great for absolutely anything else. But yeah, and through doing that, I was on the tail end of a relationship that was completely, you know, I actually went down south to this basically a 10-day intense kind of personal development, spiritual development seminar type of workshop for basically 10 days. And that's where I got really, really clear. I remember just being on the flight home. I had so much peace, so much clarity of what I needed to do. There was a lot of consequences to those actions. You know, I had to leave the relationship I was in. That meant finding a new place. I was really busy in the business at that point. So I'm juggling 22 things, but I remember through it all, everyone is like, how are you not sad? I remember it just being like, how are you still working every day? And I had so much peace of like, I know what I need to do. And I know it's going to work out. And it, literally the second I made that decision, things just started lining up in a perfect, beautiful way of like the perfect apartment came to me. I got invited by a friend to this book release. An author was having a book release and went to the book release, you know, kind of hanging out and then connected with the author. And then a month or 2 months later, she became my girlfriend, like the perfect person for me. And just everything started lining up, even in the business. Like the best months came right after that. And I just was like, okay, get clear, get specific. So specific that you say no to a lot of things and you're at full peace knowing that you're making the right decision. And yeah.
That's interesting. And you mentioned the event actually. I'd be interested to know, did you do a lot of breath work and meditation at that event?
Massive amount.
I knew you were going to say that because you mm-hmm. said clarity and you said mm-hmm. peace and you said you could mm-hmm. see things clearly. Mm-hmm. And this is an interesting thing because it kind of feeds into the quantum side of things when you're trying to dial in a frequency. Because like, I hadn't done much breath work or meditation much this year. I did mm-hmm. a huge 2-hour session pre-Christmas mm-hmm. and decluttered everything. And I had like ultimate clarity. And I was mm-hmm. like, I know exactly what I need to do. Pretty much mm-hmm. how you probably yes. felt coming off the back of that event. Then Christmas came around, loads of goals, loads of plans, loads of things for 2020 started manifesting. Then I'm working for the first couple of weeks and I get to clutter stage again, which was 2 days ago. So I've just added loads of clutter, loads of noise. my frequencies are getting scrambled.
Mm-hmm.
I can't hear my frequencies anymore, the things that are mm-hmm. important, like you said. And so I started seeing this guy, Craig, who does breath work, meditation, and does these big rituals. He actually comes to my offices here in WeWork, where every Wednesday he does like a breath work exercise. And I was like, I need to go and see Craig, man. I need to see him because I need to declutter.
Great.
I go straight up to there. We do 45 minutes of like different breath work and intense breathing. I come out and I'm like, boom.
Great.
Clarity again, room for the frequencies. Good. And and the breath work and the meditation is pretty much just like creating that gap you mm-hmm. need from all the fucking noise, which mm-hmm. is the messages, the emails, the mm-hmm. podcasts, the content, mm-hmm. and just allowing you to see. I almost imagine it now. Do you know, like, I think it was Jesus when he walks to the water and the water just mm. parts. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's what it's like when you do the breath work and meditation. It gives you that clarity. Yeah. And I just think clarity is so underrated when it comes yeah. to business and life.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you mentioned Jesus. I always think of Neo from The Matrix. Literally, yeah. I'm just like,
it's the same
bullet
thing.
Time, the speed yeah. time. I can see past the bullshit. I can see the ones and the zeros that make up the world. I actually start realizing that it is just a game, and losses and wins are a part of this game. And, you know, and the ultimate fate, and I mean, you can think of it in many different ways, but we're all going to die. You know, that's a definite, at least our bodies, and then whatever else you believe or whatever else you want to tap into, that's cool. But this reality, at least in my opinion, this reality, this place you live in, this business you're growing, these people you know, they will no longer be here, at least in this form. And I kind of feel like when I'm in that state, I'm just like I'm Neo. There's bullets flying. I'm kind of dodging the bullets, finding solutions, doing the thing. And it just feels so amazing. And that does come with clarity and with just getting grounded every morning. When I don't ground, 2 days ago, I didn't. I woke up. I think I woke up at 3:30 and I couldn't sleep. So I just went straight to work. We're revamping one of our programs, went yeah. straight to work. And by 11, I'm short with everyone around me, short with the girlfriend, short with the team. Not my best self, and it's just a big mess. I remember, slow down, get some clarity. And so I try to do that every morning as religiously as I can. I might miss one out of seven every week, but it's a little journaling, little clarity, breath work, writing, closing the eyes for 10 minutes and just breathing, and then starting the day from that place. Game changer. It's free. It's simple. You don't need to buy a course on it. You don't got to buy a book on it. It's that simple. Try it for 14 days. Try it. Discipline yourself to try it. And see what happens. I can almost guarantee you that you will have better outcomes in life. And the challenges and the obstacles you face will be the same, but they'll be effortless. You'll be Neo from The Matrix mm. or Jesus parting the waters or Buddha, whomever. You'll be a ninja.
It's interesting because I knew about meditation for years, just like you probably did before you started, right? And you probably heard people like us talking about it right now, saying you should definitely meditate, you should definitely do the breath work. And you're like, ah, stupid, I ain't got time for meditation.
Yes.
I need to consume more because I want to get to where I want to be. And especially if you're like very driven, meditation is almost like, I don't know, it just seems like a waste of time to you, because you're like, why yeah. would I want to stop thinking when I could be consuming yeah. more and learning more and doing more? And it's almost yeah. like this weird concept that you've got to wrap your head around.
Yeah.
And I did exactly what you said. So one of the podcast guests came on my show, Pete Tansley. He's an online business coach, very much like yourself. And he was giving me the same speech about meditation.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, Pete, okay. And he's in the same mastermind as me. And I respect him highly. He's crushing it. He's probably, I don't know what he's doing now, 100K a month, got a cool. seven-figure business. So he's doing well for himself.
Good.
And so his authority is there for me to listen to what he's saying. And he's telling me about meditation. He's like, I'm doing it every single day. I did it every day for like 360 days or something, because I saw mm-hmm. it on his post. And I was like, now if this guy's doing it at his level, and maybe this makes sense for me to give yeah. it a go. So I committed to just yeah. like you said, 30 yeah. days. Back to back, 5 minutes a day. And I said, Pete, I'm going to do it. 30 days. Yeah. Let's see if I can do it. And I did it. And first it was difficult. It was like, I don't like mm-hmm. to stop thinking. I mean, Like, why would I want to switch off? And then after about 5 or 6 days, I was like, ooh, I'm actually enjoying the silence of not thinking and not hearing all this fucking noise.
Yeah.
And then once I got to the end of 30 days, I was like, I want to do more than just 5 minutes. I want to do 10. I want to do 15. And then you kind of get addicted to it, because then you realize it unlocks the clarity you need to do what you want. And it's interesting you mentioned the Matrix, because I'd say that's pretty much about quantum physics.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you read a lot of the lessons or into it, it is very much about like believing before it's actually there, and seeing things clearly and believing you're the one. Like, yes, that is quantum.
100%.
It's very, 100%. Very fucking quantum.
100%. The one thing that I don't like, or that I have an issue with when it comes to kind of, I'm going to call meditation, and I say this with complete love to anyone listening who resides on this, but I think, I mean, there's many types of people, but I'll just break it down into two. Mm-hmm. The ones who are, I've been in many different spiritual communities. I am aggressive by nature. I know what I want. I get it. I can work. And probably much like you, I'll go after it until I die, and I'm committed, and you can't tell me no, and I'm stubborn. And so meditation for me is, we would call it meditation, just taking space, even for 5 minutes, is extremely important, because I'm predisposed to taking action and to crushing, to killing, to being a lion. Like, I resonate with that kind of stuff. But a lot of the people in my early days were on the other side telling me, slow down, meditate, breathe. But the results they were getting for their life weren't the results I wanted. They were all complaining about money. They were all kind of living in this surface thing, a lot of passive aggressiveness within it. And they were all telling me, slow down. And so I remember in the early days, I was like, well, obviously I don't want that. So let me go crush, let me go kill. And although the material things, I achieved all my goals, I didn't understand fulfillment. And it's something I'm still always working on, feeling fulfilled, whether I'm accomplishing or not. And so later on in my life, I started meeting extremely accomplished people who were using meditation as a tool to slow down. And so I think there's just this at least a pattern I see in a lot of the clients that we work with that are maybe more spiritually on the spiritual side, or the slow down kind of side, on the breathe kind of side, is they're not manifesting physical results because they're not taking the actions. So to those people who meditate 2 hours a day, I'm like, yo, for a week, let's just try doing it for 5 minutes and then take massive action. Kind of like a gym. I was just reading The Alter Ego Effect by Herman, Scott, something, Todd Herman. And he was like, it was just a great, he works with very high level athletes and accomplished business people and people crushing goals and making it happen. And he creates space in the life for clarity. But one of the things he was mentioning that I loved was like, sometimes our biggest breakthroughs mentally or the ideas or creatively come when we, and maybe you've experienced this, I experience all the time, you push the limit, you're so frustrated, you've been trying to find a solution, and you push even harder to exhaustion, and then you take space, then you breathe, then you go to sleep, and sometimes you wake up with the answer to your problem. I know I do. But when what I notice a lot, at least in this day and age, is people get a little frustrated, and they go into, okay, well, I need clarity, I need to breathe, I need space. And I think that's great, but just like in the gym, if you were pushing hard, and you were on the eighth rep and you got a little bit tired and you were like, you know what? I'm done. I'm a little tired. Whereas any great athlete or any great trainer would say, let's push way past that. And then let's rest. Let's take that time. So I think at least I get frustrated with some clients sometimes because I just know they haven't pushed to the limit. And as a coach and as a trainer, I'm just like, let's push you just a little harder until you literally are on the verge of, your mind is so effed, you're so exhausted. And then let's take space. And sometimes the biggest breakthroughs I see are right after that. Now let's take a day. Let's breathe. Let's go to the ocean. And they fill a notebook up with solutions that they never had before because they never pushed themselves that far. So at least in my opinion, I'm really careful. Be aware of how you're predisposed. And if you know you're not taking the action you need, if you know you're not pushing hard enough, maybe try that for a week and earn those breaks. And if you're like me, who's always pushing and you're just exhausted and you're not feeling fulfilled, then let's go the other way and like take an hour or two, because you can get stuff done, but let's take some space and see what's in there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes total sense. Yeah. And it sounds like you've been on a lot of different journeys and exploration and self-awareness and spirituality. I'd be intrigued, and this is totally up to you whether you want to disclose this on the podcast.
Sure.
But have you experimented at all with any plant-based like psychedelics?
Yeah. 100%.
Ayahuasca, mushrooms, truffles, anything like that?
Yeah, mushrooms for sure. One really funny thing I did, because actually in Kamloops I used to do a lot of mushrooms, but that was for escaping or just for having a good time. And then later on, probably about a year ago, started kind of microdosing and started experimenting with these kind of things for creative breakthroughs. And I had some of my biggest creative breakthroughs through experimenting with that stuff. This time not to escape, but to get into that other realm. But one really funny thing was through that 10-day kind of workshop slash thing I did down south, the same effects of these kind of mind-altering like plant-based substances I experienced on a deeper level, on a higher level than I ever did actually taking them. And it was explained in a really cool way of like, we can tap into that. These plants and these medicines help us get there faster, but yeah, with the right setup and with the right thing, you can achieve the same feel. So I had like out-of-body experiences. I had all this crazy stuff happen without taking a, drugs were completely not allowed for the 10 days, but I experienced depths of self-awareness and of like insane things happening to the body, from hot to cold to shivers to sweats to out-of-body experiences. Like there was some crazy stuff that happened. You would think from the outside that these people are all on acid right now. No one was, but it was a really cool thing that opened my eyes up to yeah, it's a quick way to that. And I think everyone should with professional help experiment with that, for the most part, but you can experience it without relying on it, which was really cool to me to experience that. It was really cool.
That's super interesting, because I'm going to do some exploration myself this year. Mm-hmm. Only like a microdosing level.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine, because anyone that's listening to this, you're probably thinking, who are these crazy fuckers chatting?
Yeah, about? Yeah. It's a weird topic.
Yeah, it's a bit taboo, but Steve Jobs.
Apple. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, he used to great... take acid to come up with some of the best ideas that you know, and how you're probably listening to this podcast.
What's the intention exactly behind doing it? That's it.
It's not about escapism for me anyway, because I've done all that when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I've taken all the narcotics that you can take, and I've used and abused those. And yeah, it was cool. And that is not where I'm at right now. It's about wellness. 100. It's about health. It's about nutrition. It's about opening the mind. And
yes,
I'm conscious that these things are gateways to create new ideas or new perspectives, or basically tackle any traumas or emotions, things that are just buried in there that need addressing to allow you to move forward faster with more ferocity, which is what I'm interested about. It's kind of like Limitless, that pill.
100%.
It's a very similar concept with narcotics and plant-based psychedelics. I'm aware that you've got a team meeting in T-minus 10.
So
let's wrap things up in terms of this show. We've been into some interesting topics around the mindset, and it's cool because that's really your jam in terms of what you do with your clients to a degree. So I'd like to end on a note where we can give maybe a piece of advice for anyone, no matter what type of coach, whether they're a personal trainer, fit pro, nutritionist, life coach. Yep. And we're not really talking strategies and tactics here, are we? We're talking about mindset and how you carry yourself and how you see the world and self-awareness. So keeping it in line with that, what kind of advice would you give to anyone going through a journey of building their business from that standpoint?
Great. Okay, let's try this. So everyone is so concerned. You too. I get messages all day long. Like, can you look at my funnel? How is my funnel? What's my funnel like? Funnel. You know, how do I get more leads? Am I pricing? Am I doing all this? That's like, for the most part, that's the easy work. I can give you a definite 3 strategies you can too on do this to get that result. Let's break down the problem. Let's find what you want and let's break it down. But even when it's handed to you, like, here is the plan, you know, people pay $5,000, $10,000 to enter a room and get a plan for something, but then they don't execute on it. And I was really frustrated for a long time with my clients, because I'm like, I'm giving you everything. I'm emailing you at 10 at night. I want this so bad for you. But some they had everything they need to make it happen, wouldn't do it. And so then I started, okay, well, maybe I just need to be more of a cheerleader. Do it. Like, just do it anyways. Probably 3 years ago, that was the advice I was always given. If you don't feel like it, do it. If you don't feel like it, do it. And that would get short-term results with clients. They'd do it, but then they'd fade off Sometimes the relationship would be skewed because now they think I'm yelling at them or that I'm an asshole and I really just want their best. Like, work for it. So that tactic didn't work. And then I really started diving into it of like, why are some of the clients, and I'd interview the ones who hit 40K or 30K, and I'm just like, why did you do well? And their sense of purpose, their why, their reason for getting up in the morning. You know, some had kids, some they had to make this happen. And they were so clear when I asked them, why are you doing this? They knew right away. And the ones who were failing, why are you doing this? Their answers were so surfacey. And so now I don't let anyone enter our programs, or when they do, this is the first thing they do, is they get so crystal clear until they're like, they're vibrating, they're shaking. They're just like, this is what we write that down. We put it, like, tattoo it on your eyeball, put it in your wallet, put it on your desk, put it on the wall, write it every single morning in your journal. Why are you doing this? There could be selfish reasons. There could be, you know, reasons for helping the world, serving the world. There could be reasons for your family. Could be reasons because you've gone through something, some kind of trauma, and you want to make sure you help avoid. It could be all of them. But what makes you light up? That'll change in the future. But right now, what makes you light up? And if that's a selfish reason of proving your dad wrong or proving people wrong, and it really lights you up right now, I'm not one to judge that. And then once you move through that phase and you feel yourself like, oh, I don't have any motivation because I proved these people wrong. That was my first motivation. Don't stay there. What's the next thing? What's the next thing? And so I think with that said, the biggest advice or tool would be really get clear on, you know, your vision, your mission, your why. Why are you doing this? Because if you don't have that, it's every challenge just seems impossible. Everything is just twice or five times or 10 times harder, and you're more likely to quit. So just from the data, I think we did like 250 coaches, basically interviewing them or watching them afar, clients we've worked with the last few years, the ones who killed it, their why, their mission, their purpose, their vision, strong, powerful. We just worked with one client who literally I was trying to hold it together as we were doing the vision mission exercise. I was trying to hold it together because it was so big. And I was like, damn, I'm thinking small. This is huge. This is massive. And I can feel you doing it. And he will do whatever it takes to execute on that because it's so powerful. And then we work with some who give me the next tactic, give me the next strategy. And I'm just like, let's slow down. Like, why are you doing this? And so I'd say if you don't know right now, or if you think you know, take the rest of the day off, because doing anything is probably not worth doing, and just fill up a notebook and try to get clear. Google, YouTube, grab anything you can on defining your why, defining your vision, defining your mission. I've got a lot of resources on that, but whomever you relate to, like, use it, get clear on it. And again, quantum, get in state, get in vibration, get in frequency, and then try executing on what Alex teaches you, and you'll get 10x results.
Oof. I love that. You're so quantum, man. You're literally so quantum. The way you described it at the start about getting your clients to vibrate, use the word vibrate, which is a quantum term, right? Vibrating the right frequency, but knowing what frequency you want, which is why Simon Sinek start with why.
Right.
And this would be a good place for people to maybe get a resource from you to map this out. Have you got anything that we can direct people to?
I actually have, it's called Infinite. The podcast releases early next month, and its sole purpose, I don't even really have a business plan around this. I just know it's needed. It's a podcast. It comes out every week. There's an episode every week. It's going to be I want people booking an hour off. The episodes are going to be a hard, like, stop at 20 minutes long, and it's all action based stuff. And the first episode is literally the why, the vision, the mission. Oof, nice. And so it's a year long personal development program. That's free. There's an episode that comes out every week. And I just ask people, put an hour aside. The episode is 20 minutes long. And then for 40 minutes, go wherever you have to go to not have technology around you and do the work. Whether you agree with what I say in the episode, awesome. You can write about that. If you don't, then find your own way of stating and doing it. But just, it's really taking an hour aside, 20 minutes long each episode, 40 minutes of doing the work, and literally the first episode that drops probably early next week. I'm off to Mexico for 3 weeks to just get in frequency to launch this thing. So I'm going down to the beach house, and I'm just working from there just for this podcast. Tune into that if you relate to it. I'll send you some links when it releases, and it's all about that stuff. And the reason it's created is because I really want it for my clients. So anyone we're working with, it's also going to be an extra resource for them. But I thought, why not share it with the world, give it out for free, and give a year-long personal development program that you can tune into, tap into, and use once a week as a bit of a resource.
That's a very cool concept. I absolutely love that, and can tell that you're coming from a place of service and wanting to really help, which is exactly why you're so successful at what you do, which is great to see. Can you just give us the name of that again? And then we'll put some links in the show notes.
It's going to be called Infinite.
Yeah.
Unleashing Your Fullest Potential, but it's called Infinite. It'll probably be out. It was supposed to be out on the 26th, but we're backlogged with some more important projects. So probably on the 5th or the 8th of February, it'll be out, and it'll be on all major platforms. I want to thank you with one thing you said too, because I never actually thought of this. You talked about quantum, and you're like, you're so quantum. And I never really thought of it that way, but right after I quit the rigs, I got obsessed with quantum physics. So what's this guy's name? Like Miki Pichu, I think, or what's that guy's name? He's a Japanese scientist, got me into it. And I read probably 20, 30. My girlfriend thought I was crazy because it was all about quantum physics and particles and freaking vibrations and string theory. And I guess that must have played some early development role, because nowadays I think about that stuff a lot, but I totally forgot all the research I did on it 5, 6, 7 years ago. So I'm going to explore that and try to find those books and see some of the notes I took 7 years ago.
Yeah, well, the language you use is very quantum. You said it many times. You use quantum, basically, terminology.
Cool.
Which is awesome.
Appreciate that.
So, yeah, man, cool vibration.
All right. And then I like it.
And then a link to your Instagram. Let's just give people that as well.
So yeah, at Lucas Rubix. At Lucas Rubix. And it's lucasrubix.com for absolutely everything else. I hope it serves. We've got a lot of resources. 98% of the time, we're creating stuff for free. And 2% of the time, we're getting paid for it. But we get paid very well for it. So it makes up for the 98. I think it's the best business model in the world, a value-centric business model where you give so much. And then the people who are really, 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 really wanting help pay the most, which is why I love high ticket. And I like that kind of model, probably much like yourself.
Yeah, 100%. Value first and the money follows.
Beautiful.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did enjoy it, I'd be really grateful if you could leave a short review on one of the platforms. And if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so we can connect there. See you next week.